We're going to go on to the fifth case of the day, 02-2646, Lorenzo Lopez versus Barnhart. Good morning, Mr. Schultz.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors. I represent Mr. Lorenzo Lopez this morning in the disability claim of his deceased wife, Roberta. In this claim, the administrative law judge found that Ms. Lopez had a ninth grade education, was limited to lifting and carrying 20 pounds occasionally and 10 pounds frequently, could push and pull 10 pounds, and had no functional use of her left hand. Based on those restrictions, the vocational expert testified that there was only one occupation existing in the Chicago regional area that such a person could perform, and that was the job of a machine tender. When asked by counsel whether, based on testimony by Ms. Lopez, whether a person who experienced difficulty grasping objects one day out of every 3 weeks with the right hand could perform that job, the vocational expert testified no. The machine tender job would be precluded, and in fact then all work would be precluded for such a claimant. The administrative law judge found Ms. Lopez not fully credible, but in his decision he only discusses credibility actually in one paragraph of the decision, and he refers to testimony of Ms. Lopez concerning her dominant hand. And Ms. Lopez testified that was a confusing point because she used her right hand to write and to eat, but that she used her left hand for most other things, picking up objects, giving things to other people. The judge asked, if the ALJ asked if someone threw a ball at her, which hand would she catch it in? She said her left hand. And
didn't know much about baseball, did he? Throw with your right, catch with your left.
That's true. But that's the only basis the ALJ mentioned for his credibility finding. Ms. Lopez's testimony was not inconsistent with the record, and it was not the kind of testimony on which a credibility determination should be based. In fact, her testimony was consistent with statements that she made to her treating physician. There was one statement in the record where a treating doctor indicated she was right-handed, but she used her left hand more. An orthopedic doctor who she was referred to by her treating physician indicated that he examined her left hand, which was a dominant hand. So the fact that Ms. Lopez testified in some detail as to why it was confusing to her as to which was her dominant hand was not a reasonable basis for finding her not credible. Judge Gettleman at the district court found that the ALJ found that this testimony by Ms. Lopez was equivocal. In fact, the ALJ doesn't state that he found that it was equivocal, and it wasn't equivocal. In fact, was very specific testimony that she used both hands, and again, it's not a sufficient credibility determination. Also, the ALJ failed to follow the requirements of Social Security Ruling 96-7P, which this court in the Zarowski and the Steele cases have held ALJs must follow in making their credibility determinations. He didn't consider or discuss the claimant's daily activities, which were very limited. He didn't consider or discuss the fact that she had been prescribed numerous medications, which either didn't work or that she had side effects from certain of her medications. The ALJ's decision should be reversed on that basis.
Mr. Schultz, just as a matter of interest, the record doesn't seem to tell us why Mrs. Lopez died.
She had cancer, and she passed away from that, so it wasn't, her condition wasn't life-threatening. Apparently, she hadn't told her former counsel, even when her case was at the district court level, that she had been diagnosed with that condition. Ms. Lopez also testified that she suffered from severe pain in her left hand, which seems to be accepted by the administrative law judge because he found that she had no functional use of the left hand. But pain also causes other problems, and Ms. Lopez testified that at times her pain was so distracting that she couldn't even respond to her husband if he asked her a question or to her grandchildren if they tried to talk to her. the ALJ found that he took into consideration a lack of concentration by finding her limited to this unskilled job of machine tender. But even an unskilled job requires the ability to concentrate on that work. If a person is so distracted by pain that they can't concentrate on anything, then they'd be unable to perform any job. ALJ provided no analysis of Ms. Lopez's pain under those circumstances, and again failed to follow this court's mandate in Zarowski, Luna, and Heron cases, where this court has indicated that where there are complaints of pain, that the ALJ must follow a specific procedure in analyzing that pain. There is another, although the ALJ doesn't say that this was a credibility finding, on the page after he has his discussion of credibility, the ALJ indicates that there was no medical evidence of a right-hand problem. That seems to be an imprecise statement by the ALJ. If he meant that there was no objective evidence of any medically determinable impairment in the right hand, that's simply not supported in this record. The claimant's treating doctor diagnosed her with bilateral carpal tunnel syndrome. He gave her splints to wear on both hands at night, which the ALJ acknowledges. Even a Social Security non-examining physician who reviewed the records indicated that there was a diagnosis of bilateral carpal tunnel syndrome. So once you have a medically determinable impairment, according to the regulations and the rulings, the administrative law judge was then required to decide or to find whether or not that impairment could reasonably be expected to cause the symptoms alleged by the claimant. But that determination doesn't include the severity, the persistence, or the duration of the symptoms. Only could it cause some level of symptoms. And clearly, since the administrative law judge found that the claimant had no functional use of her left hand due to her carpal tunnel syndrome, that was an implicit finding that carpal tunnel syndrome can cause swelling, pain, the very symptoms alleged by Ms. Lopez. So ruling 96-7T then says, once it's determined that an ALJ or that a claimant has such an impairment, the ALJ must go on and do a full credibility assessment with looking at daily activities, the same factors that I just mentioned. And again, the ALJ does not go through that assessment or analysis in making reaching his conclusion in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Skidmore, good morning.
May it please the Court, David Skidmore for the Commissioner of Social Security. There's no dispute here that Mrs. Lopez had significant work-related limitations. The ALJ found that she had no functional use of her left hand, but that she retained sufficient right-handed functioning to perform the modest lifting demands of light work. She didn't have any sitting limitations, she didn't have any standing limitations, she didn't have any walking limitations.
I think the problem here, and the problem that it's really necessary for you to address, is the fact that the ALJ determined there was no medical evidence regarding the right hand problem. And that's just not supported by the record evidence. Dr. Bacala noted that she had carpal tunnel syndrome in both hands. The ALJ really provides no explanation that I could find anyway, for his decision to totally disregard that evidence. And that's the problem.
Well, I think you have to look at that statement in context. The ALJ did discuss the problems with the right hand. He discussed her testimony that once every 3 weeks she couldn't use her right hand because it swelled up and it was painful. He discussed the references to bilateral carpal tunnel syndrome. The statement there was no medical problem with the right hand was made in the context of discussing a specific problem, and that specific problem was the claimant's statement at the hearing that once every 3 weeks she couldn't use her right hand. And that's what this case is essentially about. If you look at the ALJ's decision as a whole, he discussed the right-handed complaints. He considered the references to bilateral carpal tunnel syndrome. But he also looked at the medical evidence and what the doctors said about her right hand.
But then he never made any other statement about the right hand. If you're saying we have to take that particular statement in context and it just doesn't apply generally, then where does he in the record specifically distinguish in terms of disregarding the medical testimony?
Well,
because he just generally speaks about those issues but doesn't specifically get into that why he should disregard it.
Right. He didn't disregard it. He discussed the physical therapy notes. The physical therapy that came right after her left carpal tunnel release surgery indicated that she had significant weakness in her left hand but good grip strength in her right hand. She had pain with movement of her left hand. The pain subsided with rest. Her treating doctor, this is in, the physical therapy was in May of 97, a few months after the surgery. There's no other treatment record, treatment notes in the record until January of 98. Her treating source, Dr. Ajmer, explicitly said in a report, the ALJ cited this report in his record, the claimant has no manipulative limitations on the right. That's a February 98 exam. Dr. Shaw, the consultative examiner, indicated that she was right-handed. She had no difficulty performing her day-to-day activities with her right hand. She had no difficulty writing with her right hand. He specifically indicated that she had normal grip strength on the right, and it was diminished on the left. Dr. Basala, Judge Rovner referred to Dr. Basala's case analysis. She mentioned the bilateral carpal tunnel syndrome, but she also indicated that Ms. Lopez had no significant problems with the right hand.
Even though Ms. Lopez complained of right hand pain and wore the splints on both hands at
That's
night.
All there is in the record is that complaint. But on this, but there's no
That should surely be enough to keep an ALJ from saying there is no medical evidence in the record.
He didn't say that, Your Honor. Respectfully, if you look at it's at the bottom of page 5 of his decision, he's talking about the attorney hypo, and specifically her testimony, or the attorney's alternative hypothetical included her testimony, the claimant's testimony, that she could once every 3 weeks, she couldn't use her right hand. And the vocational expert, as Mr. Schultz has indicated, the vocational expert testified if that was the case, she couldn't perform the 1,500 machine tender jobs that he had earlier identified.
I find there is no medical evidence of a right-hand problem. Page 6.
Correct. And again,
Exhibits 18F records complaints of pain as she wears carpal tunnel syndrome splints at night.
And Exhibit 18F also says that the nerve conduction studies on the right were normal.
Well, it just says that the report doesn't mention the right wrist.
Right.
Because it doesn't mention it, because they didn't take the test,
right,
as I understand it.
No, well, if you look at the record, and it's on page 258, right median distal latency is normal. Mild left carpal tunnel syndrome, no other abnormalities. The nerve conduction studies were of the right and the left both. It's in the record. It's on page 258 if you want to look at it. But again, the context, I mean, to the extent that this case is about the ALJ's articulation requirement, that requirement, the ALJ is required to consider the important evidence, and the ALJ is required to allow the court to follow his reasoning. As Judge Williams indicated in Zarosky, provide a glimpse into his reasoning. On this record, given the record as a whole, given the fact that in her application materials she said she was disabled due to a left-hand impairment, at the hearing her attorney stood up in his opening remarks and said this case is about a left-handed impairment. If you look at her testimony about her daily activities, she repeatedly indicated that she could not perform her day-to-day activities with her left hand, but she could with her right hand. She reported the same in her daily activities questionnaires. The ALJ referred to her statement to Dr. Shaw that she could perform her day-to-day activities with her right hand. There's no contrary evidence. There's no medical opinion that she had a significant problem with her right hand. There is a diagnosis of bilateral carpal tunnel syndrome. That's a diagnosis. The functional statements by the doctors, she had full grip strength on the right. She had no manipulative limitations on the right. The ALJ reasonably relied on that evidence in finding that she retained sufficient right-handed strength to perform the very modest lifting requirements of light work. He presented these limitations in his hypothetical to the vocational expert. The vocational expert identified a significant number of jobs that Ms.
One Lopez job in all the world? That's your idea of significance?
That's significant.
Machine tender?
That's significant according to the case law of this circuit. Counsel, her attorney at the hearing, conceded that it was a significant number of jobs. So the question is, was it reasonable for the ALJ on this record to discount Ms. Lopez's statement that once every 3 weeks she had significant right-handed functional problems? You know, given that the objective evidence consistently showed that she had good functional use of her right hand, that she consistently reported that she could perform her day-to-day activities with her right hand, I submit that the ALJ reasonably found that she could perform the modest lifting requirements of light work with these limitations. If this court has no further questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Skidmore.
Thank you.
Mr. Schultz.
The counsel who represented Ms. Lopez at the hearing mentioned that there are a couple of cases from this court indicating that this number of jobs might be, or if an ALJ finds that might be a significant number. I don't think the counsel actually was conceding himself that that was a significant number of jobs. In fact, he talked about that this was a minuscule percentage. I think the VE said there were 3,500,000 possible jobs in Chicago and only 1,500 that this client could have done. Before the vocational expert testified, nobody had any idea that the only job that might be considered available to Ms. Lopez was this job of machine tender. The fact that Ms. Lopez could do her daily activities, occasionally do dishes but with difficulty, hold the broom with the right hand occasionally, that kind of thing, doesn't go to the question of whether or not she was able to perform a job 40 hours a week, ripping parts on a machine on a frequent basis. And that was the determination that the ALJ had to make. It was the commissioner's burden of proof at step 5 to establish that there were jobs that Ms. Lopez could perform. And given the nature of the job that was available, the ALJ had to assess those problems, and she did not. The only other thing I'd like to say is that the commissioner indicates that the ALJ discussed certain factors in the record. But what the ALJ did was he summarized the medical evidence. But then he doesn't provide an analysis. And as this court held in Steele, it's the ALJ who has to provide the reasonable analysis of the evidence and not the commissioner's lawyers. And the ALJ doesn't explain why he rejected the testimony in a reasonable basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz, and thank you, Mr. Skidmore. And the case will be taken under advisement.